Saturday Night Live's 48th season opened yesterday with a skit anticipating all the judgment the show would face amid a cast turnover, which saw 8 performers leave the show from last season. In the show's cold open, host Miles Teller plays Peyton Manning doing his Manning cast Monday Night Football show with brother Eli Manning, played by Andrew Dismukes. In it, they analyze SNL's opening in real time and respond to an intentionally terrible impression delivered in a skit about Donald Trump holed up in Mar-a-Lago during Hurricane Ian.
What the hell was that?
The governor of South Dakota. A political impression that no one asked for. What about a fun impression like Anthony Fauci or Lindsey Graham or Rudy Giuliani?
Hell, those were all Kate McKinnon.
Damn.
Since the show seemed to anticipate the public's judgment, we thought, fair to give them some of our own. For that, we've got NPR TV critic Eric Deggans here to talk about the rebuilding of a show that is a TV institution. Eric, thanks so much for joining us.
Always ready to deliver my judgments.
Exactly. Let's set the stage a bit, no pun intended. Why was this such an important show for Saturday Night Live? And why have so many cast members left from last season?
Well, those are great questions, and there might not be one answer. Longtime executive producer Lorne Michaels, he kind of theorized that the pandemic may have stifled outside opportunities for some of the cast members over the past couple of years, so they may have delayed leaving until now. But I'm not sure some of these departures were entirely voluntary either. But the show has lost a lot of people. Adi Bryant, Kate McKinnon, Pete Davidson, Chris Redd, Kyle Mooney, Melissa Villaseñor, Alex Moffat, and Aristotle Atari have all left the show since last season. They also added 4 new people, Molly Kearney, Marcelo Hernandez, Michael Longfellow, and Devin Walker. But this is still one of the biggest cast member shakeups for the show in a long time, and it's not clear exactly how all these changes are going to affect the show going forward.
So here comes the logical next question, which is, what did you think of the first episode, and did you see promise in this new lineup?
Judgment coming. Yeah, I know. Well, basically, I called it a throat-clearing episode. It was kind of a way, it seemed to be a way to reassess the capabilities of the new cast with a bunch of mediocre sketches. And they weren't really helped by a host like Top Gun Maverick co-star Miles Teller, who was kind of game, but he wasn't really inherently funny enough to elevate some of the mediocre stuff he was given. And you can see how they're going to lean more heavily on somebody like, say, James Austin Johnson, who played Trump, Mitch McConnell, and Armie Hammer last night, because the show lost so many other talented mimics. They even found time to let one of the new hires, Michael Longfellow, deliver this bit during Weekend Update about having conservative parents. But it kind of felt like it could have been cribbed from his audition tape. Let's check it out.
When I found out my dad was voting for Trump, I sat him down and I told him, hey, you keep going down this path, I might have to pay for my own car insurance next year. Then he told me how much it was, and I said, well, I didn't know that when I said that, so I'm sorry.
So that, that was a decent showcase. But I really enjoyed Bo and Yang playing a giant spotted lantern fly talking smack like a guest on Maury or the Steve Wilkos show.
Oh, I know. Bo and Yang, like national treasure, right? Put him on the currency now. So I guess the question that some SNL critics will ask, or maybe a lot of them, is why do we still care about this show? I mean, there are those who would argue that it's, not as relevant, not as cutting edge. It's been inconsistent for some time. What do you say to that?
Have you been reading my Twitter mentions?
That's pretty
always much what's going on.
I mean,
right now.
Every day.
I hear that. I totally understand that thinking. But I do think it's kind of the nature of a live sketch comedy show to be inconsistent. And there is still no other show quite like it on television. I mean, when it works, it really connects with the zeitgeist in a way that no other program does. It helps us process traumas like 9/11, and it's indelible. Indelibly define politicians like Gerald Ford and Tina Fey. I mean, Sarah Palin. Mm-hmm. But the main reason to care about SNL is that it helped produce a large swath of Hollywood's comedy elite. I mean, Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock, Will Ferrell, Kristen Wiig, now Kate McKinnon and Pete Davidson. I mean, if last night's show was any indication, we'll also get to see non-white veterans on the show like Kenan Thompson and Bowen Yang get even more screen time, which can stretch the boundaries of what that show's going to talk about even more. So even though the opening was a little lackluster, I'm still excited about the show's potential if they can quickly figure out how to best use this new cast.
All right. Well, so we'll keep an eye on it. At least you will, and then you'll tell us about it. But while you're here, I do want to ask about something different. You wrote a column last week in the midst of the hurricane objecting to TV reporters standing in the elements while reporting on Hurricane Ian. This just seems like one of those I don't know, time-honored tropes that we're just so used to seeing it that we sometimes don't even notice it until and unless, of course, something really terrible happens, which hasn't happened yet, at least recently. So why do you think this still goes on when so many critics like you oppose it? And frankly, even viewers get concerned about it because you see it in their comments.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm a Florida resident and I had to evacuate. And so I'm sitting in Atlanta and I'm looking for updates on my friends, my family, my home. And I see these reporters out in the middle of the elements doing everything that the experts tell us not to do. You know, Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel, you know, there's a famous clip of him from that storm where he got hit by a flying tree limb and he's trying to hold on to some sort of street sign or something, and another street sign is bent over. It filled me with dread. I did not want to see someone get seriously hurt or killed on live television, and it just seems like that's the risk you're running. Now, we do need to get footage and a look at how destructive these storms are, but the reporters do not need to be right in the middle of the rain and the wind in a way that no sane person really should be. There are ways to do this where you're not risking people's lives. And I know I sound like a broken record, but once somebody gets really seriously hurt, then everybody's going to turn around and say, well, why did they let them do it in the first place?
That's NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Eric, thank you so much. Glad you're safe. And thanks for talking to us.
As always, quite the pleasure. And, I'm really grateful that everything's worked out for me.